Okay, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. Hi, Greg. I'm delighted to hear of the pet crematorium. I have a dog and a cat which I wish to be cremated. Well done indeed. And I think there'll be quite a lot of that indeed. Congratulations, Francesca, and the best of luck on this great idea and a much-needed facility. It's an ideal place to facilitate the county, Northern Ireland, and further afield. Well done. How much does it cost? That's a question I didn't ask, actually. But you can contact... I'm sure you can contact the crematorium and they'll be able to inform you of that information. I think it's amazing. Congratulations and all the very best to them, says another. Okay, we have a real treat for you in terms of some live music coming up between now and 11. Sinn Féin's finance spokesperson, Piers Doherty, will be speaking to us as well ahead of the publication of their alternative budget. That and so much more besides on the way. Right, so as I mentioned, we have live music coming up for you a little later on. Jessica McKean from St Johnston. Jessica is just 10 years old and has won one of only three places in the Junior Eurovision Song Contest final on TG Cahir. She's hugely talented. She beat off thousands of hopefuls in a bid to represent Ireland in this contest, which is huge right across Europe. It's on November the 26th in Nice. So Jessica will be joining us a little later on for a chat about her love of music and her experience so far and what she hopes for her future. And in the not too distant future, we're going to be joined by Sinn Féin spokesperson on finance, Piers Doherty, who is going to discuss the alternative budget, which is being published today. Right, so we shall see. We shall see. That's what's coming up. The time a plumber pays for a new van, plus insurance, tools, fuel, his years of knowledge. You go into a doctor for less than 15 minutes, it costs you €60, and you might have to get back again another 60. If a plumber has to go back for any reason, he'd get nothing. €400 might not be that bad. I mean, it's a big expense, but it's changing four radiators as well, which you have to take the old ones off, you have to get them out, you have to drain them. You have to put the new ones on, you have to bleed them and ensure they're all up to scratch and what have you. I mean, it's highly skilled and you pay for that skill, don't you? Right, so as I mentioned, Sinn Féin is publishing its alternative budget today. Piers Doherty, the finance spokesperson for the party, joins us on the programme now. Good morning to you, Piers. Thanks for your time today. It's a busy day. Much work goes into this process, I presume.
Yeah, look, we start this process usually around February, and it goes on and intensifies obviously closer to the time. So we can mirror what would happen in government, where kind of different departments, frontline spokespersons would make bids to my office in relation to what they would like to see in terms of next year. And then we have to try and make it all add up and look at where the priorities are. So this year, Greg, it's very clear that our priorities are set out probably threefold. It's about investing in housing and bringing the type of scale we need to match the scale of the crisis. It's about supporting workers and families in the middle of a cost of living. So there's a lot of packages there from different measures that would reduce costs and increase incomes for people. And then the third element of it is investing for the future. So it's a large spend in relation to health and climate change in particular.
Yeah, well, we've already talked quite extensively, I think last week or the week before, about your proposals as it relates to mortgage interest relief. The more imminent concerns at the moment, I suppose, heading into winter, is the cost of fuel, petrol, diesel, home heating oil, and also, of course, the cost of electricity. What is contained within this alternative budget to address those concerns?
Well, look, obviously, the government have already legislated for two increases taking place this month on petrol and diesel. So the first increase is going to happen on the 11th, so on Wednesday, where petrol and diesel is going to go up by 2 and 2.5 cents. And then they've already passed a law to increase the price of petrol and diesel again.
So the first is the carbon tax and the second is the restoration of excise. Is that correct?
Exactly. Yeah. So the second goes up 8 cents and 6 cents. So you're going to see petrol and diesel pushed up to about another 10 cent on average for both of them. So the first thing we're saying is they should not go ahead. In terms of home heating oil, we're also seeing that will increase next year as a result of the carbon tax. Home heating oil is going to weigh up in the market, just like petrol and diesel is going up. And we're saying that excise duty on home heating oil has to be reduced by over half. And we would do that. So those type of components.
Yeah.
On energy, on electricity,
and gas. Can we get to that actually in a second? Sorry. And I know I asked the two at the one. But let's say, for instance, I'm a pretty normal person. I live in an older house. I can't afford to retrofit my house. I can't really afford solar panels. I have to drive to and from work. And as it stands now, I have to use home heating oil. Now, all the carbon tax in the world, it's all that does is take more money from me. It can't encourage me into changing my lifestyle because just at the moment, I simply can't afford it. And whilst there are schemes there to assist, I can't front load the money that's required to retrofit or fit a water pump or whatever it might be. And I think I'm pretty average. So we feel, I think, that we are being taxed into a change of way of doing things, but we can't actually afford to change.
Yeah, and look, we agree completely with this. We've seen home heating oil go through the roof. It didn't stop people, you know, heating their homes. Like, they didn't run out and buy an air-to-water pump, which might cost about, you know, anything up to €20,000 to buy and to install, because they don't have the money. And the same with petrol and diesel. When prices went to €2.20 last year, it just made households more poor. So what we're saying is two things have to happen. One is stop punishing households in the middle of this cost of living crisis by pushing up these prices. And the second thing is we need far more carrot. So you mentioned in relation to you know, being able to transition or retrofit your homes. And that is exactly the evidence that we're hearing, that most people cannot afford the €20,000-€25,000 that they would have to put up into this pot to actually draw down these grants. So we're actually completely redesigning these type of supports. What we're saying is that the supports have to be graduated so that households up to, with incomes up to €130,000, can get additional supports. A lot of them will be able to get 100% grant. And then after, depending on how high your income goes, it slides down afterwards. Because unless you're on very, very low income households, and unless you're on the Better Energy Scheme, which you have to wait 2 years for, you have to pay €25,000 or that amount towards a retrofit. And that's not going to work for a lot of families. We also have a particular measure, a €60 million fund for solid heat homes. So you recall the government basically saying, let's ban turf and let's ban this and let's ban that. Again, the stick approach, not appropriate. We know, obviously, the burning of turf, burning of carbon, our fossil fuels, is not good for the environment, but we need to encourage people to move. So we're looking at a €60 million fund to help people on a voluntary basis to transition away from solid fuels into what would be the likes of air to water and all the rest. A lot of the schemes at the minute, Greg, don't even allow you to put in your pumps, like your air to water, and we're bringing that into the scheme. So there's a whole redesign in relation to that. We have €500 million extra going in to support families and workers in terms of transition, while at the same time not going ahead with carbon tax increases, whereas the government are doing it, you know, arse ways, in my view.
Yeah, but then, and we talk about, you know, building more houses and all that type of stuff, and allocating money for it and whatever might be in there for health. You would know some of the big issues here across the Northwest, like parents seeking access to, you know, OT, speech and language therapists. I'm not getting specifically into that subject because it's not necessarily for today. But my point is that, you know, when we talk about we're allocating money for this and we're allocating money for that, and it's all with the best intention, the public will need their faith restored in that system, because there is a sense that this is just numbers talking, and the reality felt into the ground, on the ground, is that this doesn't actually filter through, that it doesn't tend to have we don't ever really see it, and it doesn't tend to have a positive impact. So in terms of implementation, you know, this is allocation, but in terms of implementation, is your party fit to do that? Are they able to take on the civil service where is required and what have you, and actually make these things happen so that people can feel it? Because at the moment now, it's kind of like, you know, number spaghetti, with respect. Do you understand where I'm coming from?
Yeah. No, I understand that there. And look, you know, I've been finance spokesperson now for this party for 14 years, and the numbers do matter. But I also know, and because I hear it every year, you know, numbers can be diced and spliced in different ways, and the government will project this. So, like, one of the biggest tricks that the Minister of Finance will use is, this is the biggest budget ever in the history of the state. So we will have the biggest education budget ever. We'll have the biggest health budget ever. We'll have the biggest defence budget ever. And that's just normal. As the economy grows, as more people go, as costs grow, obviously the budget has to grow as well. Like, one of the figures that's startling, because all of this gets packaged up and sounds, you know, billions and billions, there is 3.7 billion euro needed to be announced in the government's budget just to stand still. So that's no increase in services, just to keep things, the chaos, sometimes the non-provision of service, just to keep things the way they are. It's a huge amount of money. So when the government says we've provided X amount more for this, the question is that actually additional, or is it just to keep things going? And if you're a child with special needs, you're not happy with that situation, because that situation means that you may not get to see the specialist that you need, or the OT or whatever. So that's why there needs to be additional funding. And that's what we've done in terms of our budget. There is, and it's not just looking at headline numbers, it's also looking at the reasons why some of this isn't happening. So like a lot of this, you talked about the supports that some of the families need, and we know particularly in terms of CNT, and those type of supports in Donegal, a lot of these agencies are Section 39, Section 38 agencies. There's an issue there in terms of salary, in terms of wages. So we need to increase the wages there. And there is discussions ongoing, but the offer by government is paltry at the minute. And that's one of the problems in terms of recruiting people in. The other thing is, like, the health system is in chaos. There's 6,000 people graduating health professionals every year here. Unfortunately, a lot of them are deciding to go to Australia, Canada, or elsewhere. We need to make the necessary investment, but not just the necessary investment, the necessary type of structural change that is required to actually deal with the crisis. So I'll give you an example, Greg. We can put extra money into health, which will be on agency staff, agency consultants, agency doctors or nurses, or seconding work out to the private sector, or we can actually decide to invest in the future, make real lasting change in terms of building capacity. And that's what Sinn Féin are planning to do, build extra wings onto our hospitals, creating 1,800 beds over the next 3 years, using rapid build modular approaches to try and get these online as quickly as possible, and then having the capacity in our hospitals that allows our surgeons, our doctors, and all of our professionals to do the work that they're skilled to do.
A couple of callers wants to know, do you have to, in your budget, do you account for spending in terms of the housing of Ukrainian refugees and support for Ukraine? Is that included in your budget? And if so, what's included within it?
So we accept what the Department of Finance figures come out there. So they put a bundle a package of things, which is called temporary spend. It's allocated as temporary spend. And it's for not just Ukrainians, but it's for COVID. It's for some of the Brexit mitigation measures. So it's temporary issues that would take place. So there is an allocation. The government's allocation is 4 billion euro in relation to that whole package. Ours is just higher because it's about 4.3. And the reason is because we have some other temporary supports that we've been providing families next year. So the likes of your mortgage interest relief, or your reduction in excise duty, or your energy reduction in your energy bills will all be temporary. So that goes into that package as well.
Okay, what about your funding for RTE, or have you proposals for funding of media more generally speaking?
So we have some direct proposal in there in terms of TG Car. There's a 10 million euro uplift for TG Car. But in relation to the issues in the wider issue in terms of the media, which includes RTE, there isn't an allocation there for them. And the reason being is because there are a number of things that are currently under consideration or under discussion. So we've met with RTE. We've been very clear and publicly that RTE is not getting another penny from the Exchequer until they show us that they
have... but the license fee remains in place. Is there no proposals for a reform of that, or for supporting other sections of the media that serve a public service role, even if not an official manner?
Yeah, the point I'm making is we're looking for three things from RTE, because RTE is the biggest element in relation to this year, and you can't really develop the policy until you've got this. We need the restructuring plan from RTE, which will be a slimmed down RTE. We expect that by the end of the month. We need to be assured that corporate governance is proper in RTE. We're told that there is changes afoot, and we'll be satisfied with that, but we need to see it. And the third thing is RTE need to start to build trust with the public as well. Only at that point will we actually look at the new model of funding, which includes all of the issues that you've talked about in terms of the license fund. So because that hasn't been decided, we have to make an allocation. So it's like the public sector pay deal. There's a public sector pay deal and the talks going on at the minute. It hasn't been concluded, so there is no amount of money that you can add. You know, you can't say there's 400 million euro for that or X, Y, or Z. What you do is you put it into an unallocated fund. So there, we have an unallocated fund of 815 million euro, Greg, and that would cover issues like Section 39, Section 38 workers. It would cover retained firefighters, the new pay deal that has to be negotiated, and also the issues in terms of public service broadcasting and support for the media.
I know you're in demand, so I'll ask just one final question. Previously, in previous budgets, I've asked questions about money being allocated or how much might be spent on defective concrete. And at other times, the government hadn't allocated any funding. And because the way this is done, that means your party couldn't. We do have a scheme in place there, and we have promises on the table from you and your party leader and others. How is, if at all, is defective concrete and the funding of it, and the new scheme that you're promising to introduce, 100% redress, how is that referenced in your alternative budget?
So above the government allocation, if memory serves me right, I think it's 60 million that they have allocated. We want to allocate an extra 140 million euro. So that, and that's for next year. Obviously, this is a demand-led scheme, Greg. So it's if more applications come in, obviously, then you'd need to look at supplementary estimates in relation to that, because the commitment is given that the redress scheme is there, that it should be 100%. But what we estimate for next year is nearly tripling the amount of money, is over tripling the amount of money that's available.
But is that within mind of the current scheme, or in mind of presumably very quickly?
If we were in government, we present this budget in relation to what we would do if we were in government, and we would provide that level of money, which is what our estimation is, what would be drawn down next year. Remember that these are drawn down.
Understood.
And all the rest. So you're talking about a 200 million euro fund in total, and it would be an enhanced scheme, as I mentioned to you in the last interview I did with yourself, that we're committed to bringing forward legislation in line with the amendments that we brought forward from the Make Action Group to amend the scheme and to have a proper scheme that meets people's needs.
I know it's my fault we didn't get to electricity prices or social welfare payments, but all that information is going to be broadly discussed later today on programmes like this, but of course over the next with interviews with yourself. Okay, so thank you very much for now. That's Sinn Féin spokesperson on finance, Deputy Piers Doherty there. All right, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show here on Highland Radio. And it's something completely different from talking about politics now. We're talking about singing. Jessica McKean from St Johnston joins us in studio. Hi, Jessica. How are you getting on?
Great, how are you?
Is here. I'm doing fantastic. How is life going for you?
It's just been a journey of a ride, to be honest. No, it's been fabulous.
When did you realise that you were able to sing? Because I'm still waiting for, you know, my voice to kick in. Were you always sort of the one at parties when you were really young, singing and performing for everyone?
Yeah, I just fell in love with music when I was really, really young. And like, what age was I? Like two and a half when I started singing lessons. And I was just singing wee songs at only really, really young. And there was just something really different about my voice that got people nearly crying. So I kept going, and here I am today, the finals of Junior Eurovision. So.
And how did you get involved in entering this competition? Because you have made a very short list of thousands of people that entered this competition.
You see, I go to singing lessons.
Lovely.
So my singing teacher showed me this, and we saw it also on Facebook, and we were like, oh goodness, we should do this because everyone in Ireland and all over the place loves it. So we thought we would give it a go, and here I am.
Had you done stuff on stage before? Performed in musicals or acting or anything up until now?
Yeah, so when I was five, I was on Donica's Too Talented. So I was there with my mum, Sarah. So it was really, really fun. Back in 2018, I was singing I Love You Honey, so... No, it was really funny, to be honest.
Now, I think in one of your performances, you sang Whitney Houston's I Will Always Love You, which is a huge, huge song. So you didn't do anything by halves anyway. You know? Shall we listen to a little bit of you singing that? 1 second.
Thank you.
Now we're going to hear you singing live, but that's you singing in the programme. A Skellig as well, is that more challenging?
Yes, so I practiced a lot with these Irish songs and my mum was a great help to me. We used to go back and forth to Dublin, which to us is really far away because we live up in Donegal and that's down in Dublin, that's 3 hours away for us. So they were like trips with me, my mum and my dad would all go down. We'd practice and there would be a lot of Gaelic teachers and stuff like that helping us out. And it was a big struggle, but overnight as well, as we do all of this, it gets in your head and then just all together.
Yeah. Now, this is a junior Eurovision Song Contest, but you have a very mature voice. Were you afraid that that might work against you, if you know what I mean? Because I think if anyone closed their eyes and listened to you, particularly in that performance, your voice has matured to that almost of an adult.
Well, I don't think it goes against me. I think it's because I find it easier as well to do opera sort of songs and high pitches. So it's not squeaky. It's like more powerful. And I make a lot of people cry with my songs. So I find that a big advantage, to be honest.
All right. Well, listen, you're going to sing two for us, aren't you? Is that all right, Mum? Do you want to get the track ready? So you are going to sing two for us live, which is a fantastic treat. If you want to go up to this microphone now, we can switch you over there. What was I going to say, Tilia, was what's the first song you're going to sing for us?
1 second.
Such a diva. What age are you? 10?
Yeah.
My word. So tell me when you're ready, Jessica. Okay. So the backing, what is the first song we're going to sing then?
So for my first song, I will be singing the song that got me through to the finals of Junior Eurovision 2023, which is Skinny Love by Birdie. So I really hope you all enjoy.
Now, you sure I can talk about this? Because you've told me like a big list of things before we even started. What I can. So we're okay to talk about this, yeah?
Yes.
Are you ready, Mum?
Yes.
Okay, whenever you are ready. Excellent, powerful stuff. So take a seat back down here now. We can switch between the two. So in terms of nerves, okay, and the big stage, you know, you've got all the crew there, you've got all the cameras. We can't really see that. Is that something you get a buzz off, or is it something that you get nervous about, or what?
It's kind of funny with me. I literally thrive off, like, an audience. Mm-hmm. So the cameras, I just knew, obviously I'm not new to cameras. I've done a few before in other places and obviously on TV before in S5. But I just find it really, like, enjoyable. Obviously I have my judges there as well, which is a little nerve-wracking. but like to think they're only just other people, so more people the better, to be honest.
That's
for me.
Brilliant. And listen, then that means your dream coming true would be Nice on November 26th. Because the Junior Eurovision is big here, but it's massive across Europe. It's massive in some of the territories. It's huge in terms of, you know, you're broadcasting to a massive audience. I mean, so that's your wish. That's what you want.
Yeah, to be honest, obviously now I'm in the final and voting is open, everybody. So every hour of the day this week up until Sunday. Guys, my wish, if you want to make a 10-year-old's dream come true, please just vote for me, guys, because really I think that we could go and I could bring the cup home back to Ireland for the Eurovision and... No, I'm just going to make Ireland proud.
Okay, so you're one of three finalists now.
Yes.
Is that correct? Now, you're the youngest ever finalist at 10 years of age, which is a fantastic achievement in and of itself. So you can vote for Jessica by going to TG4. It's TG Cahir, but it's the digit for tg4.ie/junior Eurovision. And if you want to hear more about Jessica, you can go on to her Facebook and Instagram, Jessica McKean Music. Although it's Kessica on Facebook, is it? Is it? Oh, is that just... No, it's not. Okay, it's Jessica. It's just a misprint here on my notes. Okay, Jessica McKee Music for more. So when is the final on Jessica? We hope people vote in advance, but when can people watch you perform?
So the final is on this Sunday at 8:30, and we are celebrating this down at Maggie's Tavern. So big shout out to Maggie's, by the way. And they've been such a great help, so we decided they're my local pub. I only live down the road from them. They're just so good to us, so they've planned big parties and stuff like that. Right. So,
how many times do you perform on Sunday?
I perform twice.
Okay, and have you, I'm not going to ask you what they are, have you selected the songs? You get to choose them yourself, do you?
No, I don't get to choose them, so it was quite a surprise, but we got to deal with them anyway, to be honest.
And do they do try and make it suit your style and your singing, I presume. And you don't know yet, if you were successful, and fingers crossed, what song you might sing, because that's also specially written for the competition.
Yeah, that's right, but I don't really know the song yet, you know what I mean, so...
Well, it's all very exciting. Okay, so that's live... TG Cahir on this coming Sunday. Vote for Jessica to represent Ireland. tgcahir.ie/junior Eurovision. You can get more information on Jessica on her Facebook page and Instagram, Jessica McKean Music. So that's the Junior Eurovision Song Contest final on TG Cahir this Sunday. And it's all with a view to selecting who will go on to represent Ireland on November 26th in Nice. And Jessica hopes it is her. Jessica, before we hear another song from you, what do you hope to do? You know, obviously you're focused on Sunday and then hopefully focused on November. But I take it you are interested in the performing arts as a career even, are you? Or what would you love to achieve?
So actually, when is it now?
Exactly, when is what now?
I go busking and I'm doing other things with Chrissy Mack stuff like that.
In life, what do you want to achieve?
Yeah, what do you want to achieve? You want to be a famous singer,
honest,
do you?
This is one of my famous sayings. I don't care about making money or the fame. I care about making people happy, and that's honest.
Okay, cool. And who's your role models in the music industry? Who are you a fan of?
I really like Whitney Houston. She just gives it her all and she just proves people right of what she can do. I really like Adele. She's also really good.
Big, strong ballad singers.
Definitely.
Yeah, okay.
And I also like Nathan Carter there.
Okay, well, you might as well throw Nathan in just for a bit of diversity. Okay, come here. What are you going to sing for us lastly? You can go up to mic two there if you want, Jessica. So what are we going to hear lastly?
I'm going to sing a bird by the drum.
Say that one more time.
I will always love you, Whitney Houston in Irish.
Okay, when are you ready, Mum? Are you ready to go? Okay.
Ready, Diva? Yes, baby, my chocolate, good job. Joe. sealed aside. Tasulam, go me feet to the yamando. Galum ditch mo crow, now be your gallowed. Leon free me, demol take a foe. It's bay me, took a leg of jail.
Now you're just showing off. Is it harder to sing those notes at this time of the morning when the voice hasn't woken up, Jessica? Because I find it hard to speak sometimes at 9 a.m. if I haven't been chatting much.
Well, obviously, I'll practice my warm-ups and I'll... It's kind of funny. I suck on a bottle of honey, so my whole throat is, like, covered and stuff, so it doesn't get all cracky and stuff.
Brilliant, because, you know yourself, the likes of Adele, too, suffered badly with her vocal cords, so you have to look after them because they're your moneymaker, though you're not interested in money, I know that. Okay, Jessica, listen, the very best of luck for you and all the family and everyone who'll be gathered in Maggie's. I'm sure it's Maggie's Tavern, isn't it, you mentioned?
Yes.
Yeah. On Sunday. It's going to be a great evening, and we wish you every success. And look, even if Sunday doesn't happen for you, and there's no reason why it shouldn't, it's clear the world's your oyster, and you're going to be able to do whatever you want to do if you put your mind to it, which you already are. So we wish you the best of luck, and thanks so much for calling in, and we look forward to watching you on Sunday.
Thank you very much, everybody.
Just one quick word on the Jessica situation. It's not the Jessica situation, but Jessica McKean, who was in with us there, in that she really does need your votes, because I actually thought it would be a mix of judges and public vote, but it's all the public vote. And she's up against two teenagers who would have probably quite a big social media footprint, you know what I mean? Because they would have their phones and access to TikTok and other ways that they could gather support. So particularly for Jessica, who's just 10 years of age and doesn't necessarily have the social media presence the others might have or have built up a following, if you know where I'm coming from, it's extra, extra important if you want to see Donegal represented to go on to tgcahar.ie/Junior Eurovision and vote for Jessica McKean, and even maybe share it on your Facebook pages. It'd be a lovely lift for a lovely, talented young lady. And thanks to Mum as well for coming in and being her support there. Michael Ryan is co-founder of Stuttering Awareness and Mental Wellbeing Campaign. He joins us now. Michael, thank you for your time.
How are you? How do you follow Jessica? I mean, for God's sake, I feel like totally out of the woods here. Some talent.
Just
fantastic.
Give us a couple of bars of something, Michael.
Not really, no. I haven't taken my honey yet.
Right, we'll get you the
fantastic.
Next. We'll get you
well
the
done.
Next time. Okay.
Well
so the importance of raising awareness of stammering. Why is it so important, Michael, and what would that achieve?
Right, I always start with the story. I mean, I've had a stutter myself, Greg, since I was a child. And I suppose I would have gone through all the stuff that people with stuttering would have gone through. And I'm very passionate, I suppose, and I've got help about it, help to kind of get me back on track, I suppose. Really, I hit bottom around 2004 in my 40s and I needed help and I went to a private group. But I suppose we all take speaking for granted. If you're a fluent speaker and you speak your word, it comes out and that's it. But when you have a blockage or when your fear takes over your speaking and takes over your whole body, that is why that I've got involved in the starting awareness campaign and also the importance of the mental well-being associated with. And we are countrywide, we are international. There are three of us who have stutters. We're very passionate because we've gone through the mill. We're just three ordinary individuals. I'm in a hardware shop here in Templemore in Tipperary. And every day is a challenge. Every day is a speaking challenge. I may be in good form on one day. I may be in bad form another day. But I am now at the position where I accept my stammer or my stutter for what it is, Greg. Do you know what I mean? And yeah. I move on from there.
And
other
Michael,
people are in different...
I beg your pardon, Michael. Sorry, I thought you were
finished. You're all right.
Are you...
You're okay.
In terms of addressing the stammer, it's something you still yes. consciously have to do all of the time.
Yeah, I mean, there are some days now I'm speaking okay at the minute with the occasional blip. But some people who wouldn't maybe catch that blip would say I'm near to perfect. Mm-hmm. That's because I'm feeling good. I'm in a good place at the minute. People say some occasionally, if I have a good day, they said, are you cured from it? You cannot cure it. You just address it. There are different techniques that you use to overcome some of the words. So it does take the pressure off yourself mentally and physically. So I still have my stutter, but I can cope with it. But I'm very conscious that there are possibly people out there in a different place, maybe, or parents who are waiting on diagnosis for children, and there's waiting lists out there. I won't go down that road. And this is all over the country.
I'm taking you down that road, Michael, because early intervention is so, so important. And unfortunately, over the course of the last couple of months, we've been trying to highlight and get issues of early intervention, speech and language therapies addressed. We've got 37 vacancies across Donegal. That's just in Donegal, in areas in CDNT. And it's so important, like, especially for children going into school and what have you. How difficult was school life for you? Because I'd imagine, Michael, that you're the type of person, right, you've put yourself out there. You were a mayor, a councillor, business person. But I think there's an awful lot of people that maybe retreat into themselves or retreat from society because of a stammer. And then we don't get a real sense, perhaps, of, you know, how many people might be affected and the challenges that they're going through.
Yeah, I mean, okay, I have achieved stuff over the years and I'm very proud of it. But my stutter brings me back and it grounds me. You don't get cocky about it, because I did go through the mill of in school with bullying and maybe, you know, I'm talking primary school in the 60s, maybe going into the 70s. And whereas I suppose teachers and stuff, they weren't overly conscious of what was going on with a child, or if you weren't inclined to answer a question, Greg, you'd be put in a corner, you know. I'd know the answer. Yeah. I mean, intelligence doesn't come into it. I mean, you just can't get the word out, and then people see what's in front of them. I mean, I still get it. On occasion, I mean, it happened back a couple of months ago. I was, you know, I play music and I play in a band. I play a bit of music, which is my saviour, really. And I hadn't done a gig for about 10 years. And there was a DJ on before me, and he asked me who my name was, and I totally blocked.
That was this,
yeah. So you can be experienced or an expert in stammering all you want, but it still happens. Mm. And I did disclose to him that I had a stammer and that was okay, and he accepted it and there wasn't a problem. But I mean, I know how to deal with it, but I'm very conscious of people out there. But childhood can be tough. And I mean, initial assessments, I think around the country you have about 15,000 waiting on initial assessment. Mm. And initial therapy could be up around 8,000. So I mean, do you know? I mean, it's speaking, if you come across it, you will realise how it is important that people get help in that, because it can affect you socially, Greg, emotionally, financially even, job-wise, getting out there, do you know?
Yeah, and you know, we have had, often sometimes you have to, you need someone to step out and sort of be a face for an issue. And I know that's some of what you're doing, but, you know, I'm just thinking in terms of, you know, role models or people that younger people can look up to. And as I say, I'm not excluding you from that, Michael, but I think the last time I can remember someone, it was a young guy from X Factor that had a stammer. Is there a preference between the calling it a stammer and a stutter, by the way, Michael, just for my own education?
There isn't really. No, Greg, there isn't really. Stutter is an American thing, mostly. Now it's becoming more here. Stammer would be, you know, stammer and stutter are the same thing, really. But the reason why we called our campaign Stuttering was that we would be going global and worldwide. But coming back to role models, Garrett Gates, you're probably referring to.
Yeah.
And I met Garrett, and he's a nice man, and he's doing roles now in different musicals and stuff, and he's pushed himself out there. Joe Biden is another guy. I met him in 16, 10 minutes with him in Dublin Castle. A hero of mine, really, regardless of the politics. He gets a lot of hack for maybe stumbling and stuttering and stuff. And that's what happens when you're in the public eye. But, I mean, I applaud people that put themselves out there. And the only reason that any of us do that is so that we help other people, Greg, and that's important. And whether that's in Donegal, Tipperary, doesn't matter, across the country.
It's quite interesting, Michael, that you referenced Joe Biden, because much is made of sometimes his delivery. So if he does have a stutter, or has had one, he's probably actually having to think on his feet as to how to avoid stuttering, stroke, stammering.
Yeah.
If people want more information, Michael, where do they go to get it?
Yeah, well, Stuttering Awareness and Mental Wellbeing Campaign. We have a website, we're on Facebook, we're on YouTube. Our phone numbers are on it. If anybody calls you there, wants my number, I'm more than welcome. I have people coming into the shop here in Templemore, and they would have had a child or would have a grandchild or somebody to know someone, and we'll try and help them out as best we can, put them in touch with people and whatever. That is what we're about. We're just three, four ordinary people. And we have an awareness day now. International Day is coming on the 22nd of October, and we'll be doing various things. We'll be in Dáil Éireann now in a couple of weeks as well, and giving presentations and that.
Right.
But that's what we do. We do it for other people.
Brilliant,
Greg,
fascinating.
And you know,
do great work in being a figurehead for this campaign, by the way. I hope you don't think I was doing you a disservice in that regard, but you know what I mean.
Not at all.
Yeah,
Michael, not at all, and thank you.
Thank you so very much indeed. And get the honey into you next time. I want to tune out of you.
Absolutely, absolutely. I haven't prepared, but I will the next time, Greg. And thanks a lot, okay? And thanks to everybody.
Bye-bye. Bye, Michael. Bye.
Take care.